We are back. You know, again, I just want to reiterate on the season long on the future plays. You know, again, understand all of those numbers, and I fall victim to this too. It's really easy to do because you look at all those numbers they present, and all those numbers look low. They do. You want to play higher on all of them because they all look low. But the reason they look low is because they are incorporating an injury risk factor over the course of a whole season. And it's hard for us to sort of rationalize that. We don't think that way. So when we look at Cade Klubnik, we see these numbers and we say, well, I mean, he threw for 3,600 yards last year. And he threw for more touchdown passes last year. So he's got better receivers this year and better. And so we automatically say, yeah, he's going to better those. But see, most quarterbacks don't make it through a 12-game season unscathed. They miss some time. You know, and so that's the dilemma. See, they're factoring that in. And basically, we don't. And I, like I said, I fall victim to that just like everybody else does. I see him and I think, man, that looks easy. Like, for example, on the play that I made, on the one futures play so far I have on an underdog, all 8 of my plays are higher. Okay, that's probably not going to happen. So you've got to find some lowers in there, you know, as a part of this conversation. I also think it's hard to just sort of guess that a guy's going to be hurt. Like, for example, Mr. B wrote me a minute ago and said, he said, I know you can't predict injuries well, but if South Carolina uses Lawrence Sellers the same way they used him last year, he won't make it through the season. Therefore, I don't think he reaches those numbers because I'm not sure he'll be healthy the whole season, so that's a hard bet. And I understand that. But my initial thought in response to that was, I don't know, Mr. B, he's 240 pounds and hard to hit. Because he is. He's 240 pounds and he's hard to hit. So, you know, that's the dilemma. But the thinking is still right. It's true with every one of these guys. I mean, so I have 8 hires in one play. And are all 8 of my guys, you know, in order for me to collect the big payout on that, the 7 of 8, maybe that's possible. But in order for me to collect the 8 of 8 on that deal, I'm going to need all 8 of those guys to stay healthy all season long. That's not likely.
I hope you don't have DJ Lagway on there.
No. No Lagway. No DJ Lagway in the health category for me. No. But, you know, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, for example, I took both Penn State running backs. It makes perfectly logical sense. I mean, I have 2 war daddy running backs who are both 230 pounds, who both went over 1,000 last year, who played their best football at the end of the year, who are both desperate to win a national title, and, oh, yeah, they're running behind the most dominant offensive line in America. Sorry, Alabama. And so their numbers, one of them is 801 and the other is 849. All right. Do I think it seems obvious that both those guys are going to go over those numbers? Yes, but they're running backs and running backs get hurt, you know? And so that could easily deflate either one of them. But on the surface, I mean, just like conventionally, is Nick Singleton going to rush for over 849 yards? Hell yes. Yes. By game 7, he's going to be over that number. You know, so, yeah. I mean, but that's the dilemma. These season-long future plays, they're very enticing because the numbers are all sort of artificially low because they are taking into account what we aren't. They're taking into account some sort of percentage in terms of how many games these guys are actually going to play. You know, we're thinking of 12 games for this guy, 12 games for that guy, 12 games, and the reality is that that's probably not going to be the case. So we'll see. We shall see. Look, that's fine. Texter 201, that's fine. I appreciate the comment. Yeah, I mean, Bradshaw did make some deep throws to the accuracy. Bradshaw had a live arm, and he was a good athlete, and he was a scrambler, and he was a good leader. I do think he was a leader of men. I do think there were some things he did well. I don't hate Terry Bradshaw. I don't. You know, I respect him. I honestly respect the things he says. And I think he's always been right about the leader of men thing. And I think he gave his team some of that, especially in the big moments. But, you know, just from play to play, he wasn't a great thrower of the football. He wasn't very accurate. and it wasn't his strength, and people talked about his lack of intelligence and all these things. I don't think that stuff was fair. I don't think it was ever fair. But that's what people thought he was dumb. And you know why they thought he was dumb? Because of where he came from and his accent, which is really dumb. That's really dumb to judge anybody by where they came from. You know, I mean, it's absolutely stupid. In terms of the dilemma comes, though, in terms of history in evaluating him versus all these other top quarterbacks who ever played. So, you know, like I gave you my first four, five for me. Dre and Greenville, I'll get to you in a second. Five for me, probably John Elway, who could beat you with his arm and his legs. And John Elway brought some teams to the Super Bowl that had no freaking business being in the Super Bowl. He didn't actually collect pay dirt until Terrell Davis came along. But before that, he was bringing teams to the Super Bowl that had no business being there. He basically just carried them there. You know, his career started out rough. It was the early years were not good for Elway, but he got better and better and better. And I would say that he's probably five for me all time. And then beyond that, we're in the group of Steve Young, Peyton Manning, Roger Staubach, historical one, Sammy Baugh is in this next range somewhere. We're in that group next before we move on. And, you know, and again, it goes, and look, some of this is subjective. You know, that next group beyond that's going to have guys like Roethlisberger and Breeze and Marino and, you know, and I mean, just throwing these out off the top of my head. But that's, and of course, you know, Mahomes is going to be in there at some point. Josh Allen's going to be in there at some point. You know, some of these guys who are playing now are going to be in this mix somewhere. You know, you could probably throw Mahomes in there now at some point in that equation. I don't know exactly where. I think he has more to prove, and it feels like Mahomes' numbers and everything else have been a little deflated in the last few years. So we need to see more from him moving forward. A couple sort of abysmal Super Bowl performances as well in there. Doesn't speak highly, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I don't think he's the best quarterback in the NFL. I think Josh Allen is. I think that's clear. I think if Allen was playing for the Chiefs, you'd see more winning. But, you know, that's not the circumstance. So, you know, we'll see moving on, but that's the group. And, you know, once we go past 10, 11, 12, it gets murkier. But, yeah. Now, Will, I said something about Otto Graham when I made my initial comments on Graham, and I said he still leads the NFL in some stats. I said I believe he's still the all-time leader in yards per attempt. You, Will, look that up. Was I right, Will? Is Otto Graham the all-time leader in yards per attempt?
Yes, at 8.6 yards per attempt.
How about that?
He still holds that record along with the highest career winning percentage by a quarterback at 8.13.
Yeah, that's insane. See, that's what I said. You know, so I mentioned the yards per attempt when I mentioned Graham, and I also said you can make a strong case that Graham, not Brady, is the greatest winner of all time. And that's what I've always said. I've always said the Brady-Graham thing, if you understand history, is actually much closer than people think. I mean, look, most people don't even include Otto Graham in that. They put him somewhere in 10 because they heard of him once. You know, so, you know, but the reality is he's one or two. He's right there with Brady. That's the reality. Dre in Greenville. Dre, how are you, Dre? Good to have you.
Hey, what's going on, Walt? How you doing?
Good, Dre. Always good to speak with you.
Hey, my man. I wanted to get in. I wanted to get your opinion on two of my thoughts that I had on South Carolina.
Yeah.
I hope my fellow Clemson Tigers can forgive me for what I'm about to say. I just moved back up to the upstate back last month, so maybe the past 2 years, them chickens in Chicken Town been putting a little something in my water, you know, I don't know. Maybe they just been putting a little something in my water, I don't know. But honestly, when I saw the rankings and everything, I kind of feel like South Carolina probably got shafted a little bit. Honestly, me personally, taking my orange-colored glasses off, I feel like they're better than Miami. I feel like they're better than Arizona State, and I feel like they're better than Illinois. So I want your opinion on that one. Yeah. And then the second opinion I wanted to take your thoughts on, and I'll take it off the air. I felt like when they hired Shane Beamer, I felt like he was the right fit for the program. I don't think he's a national championship caliber coach, but I do believe that he will deliver them to the promised land and get them one or two SEC titles before he leaves. I'll take your comments on both of those off air.
Yeah,
buddy.
Thank you, Drake. Good speaking with you. A lot of stuff there. I mean, can South Carolina win an SEC championship under Shane Beamer? I would say yes. I mean, I don't know if they will, but I would say if the question is can they, I would say yes. I mean, in my mind, they could win this year. I mean, I don't know that they will, but I think they could. In terms of where they were ranked, I think they're in the right area, Dre, when you consider the schedule and, you know, the questions that a lot of people have about the amount of personnel lost defensively. But I personally, the closer we get to the season, think more and more of them because I think eye test-wise, this might wind up being Beamer's best team, even better than last year. And I think Lenore Sellers is going to take another step. I think Nicholas Harbor is going to take another step, as I've been discussing. I think the offensive line certainly can't be worse than it was last year. I think the defense is still going to be good. I think they're still going to create turnovers. I think the linebackers are athletic. You know, I want to see how you hold up, how South Carolina holds up on the other edge, the canard edge, if you will, against the run more than the pass. But I'm high on South Carolina. I think they're going to be very good, and I think they're going to compete. If South Carolina played Georgia on a neutral field right now, I don't know who would win. So I think they're going to be in the mix without question. And look, here's the reality. If they are in the mix to win the SEC, then they are in the mix to win the national championship by definition. You know, I'm not ruling any of that out. I've been impressed with Shane Beamer. I really have. I mean, you know, there were times I had doubts. Not the number of doubts that South Carolina fans did, but you know, and look, I wasn't sure about his hire. You know, I probably would have gone Chadwell, but I think he's done a good job, and I think with each passing year, things seem to get a little better, and they've done a great job bringing in quarterbacks. He has one of the finest quarterbacks in America, and a guy who could be the number one pick in the next draft. And he's built the quarterback room, too. So, look, I think you have to respect them. I get the rivalry thing and all that stuff, but I think you have to respect what they've done and what's been done. Not only that, they've beat Clemson two of the last 3 years. You know, that's maybe a hard truth to accept, but it's a fact as of right now. Now, I don't think those Clemson teams were great. Obviously, they were teams that, you know, it was sort of a transitional period for Clemson football, and I think Clemson's taken another major step forward this year, and I would expect Clemson to win that game this year, but you know I'm not ruling South Carolina. I'm not ruling a team quarterback by Lenore Sellers out of anything. I think he's too magical, and again, we watched year one as a starter for that guy. And he completed 63% of his throws and at 240 pounds and 6'3". And you know what? This guy didn't rest on his laurels. He went home and worked. He worked with Ramon Robinson. And I think he's the right kind of person, has the right stuff, and his traits are insane. So I would expect improvement from Lenore Sellers this year. And he's a vertical thrower of the football. So when he completes 63% of his throws, a lot of those throws are vertical. So those numbers are pretty good. I think as to who South Carolina is better than, I would say Arizona State is probably better right now. In Miami, I would probably give South Carolina the edge there. And what was the other team you mentioned?
Illinois.
Yeah, the dilemma there, Dre, is Illinois beat South Carolina in the bowl game, and Illinois basically has their whole team back. So I would put Illinois one slot ahead of South Carolina. That's what I did. Do I think Illinois is better than South Carolina? No. If Illinois played South Carolina today, who would I pick? South Carolina. But here's the thing. When Illinois played South Carolina last time, I picked South Carolina. Okay? So, and Illinois won the game. So until that changes, I would have Illinois one spot ahead. All right, we'll take a quick break. June in Seneca wants to talk about all-time NFL quarterbacks. We are rolling with football talk today.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. There are a lot of great dads out there. Sometimes those dads get divorced. For more than 30 years, we have represented men in divorce, confronting the pitfalls that could devastate your finances or harm your family relationships. While every situation is different, our goal is to get the best outcome for you and your kids. Visit CordellCordell.com to take the first step.
55 Beatty Place, Suite 900, Greenville, South Carolina, 29601. Scott Trout, licensed in Missouri, Illinois, and Georgia only. CordellCordell.com.
Set along the Swamp Rabbit Trail with a delectable menu, 15-plus beers on tap, a large indoor space, and an expansive outdoor area great for yard games, live music, and gathering with friends. Southernside Brewing Company has quickly become a favorite for locals and tourists alike. In addition to its delicious food and tasty craft beers, Southernside also has a full bar with wine, handcrafted cocktails, and an extensive bourbon list. Family friendly and sure to be a good time, visit SouthernsideBrewing.com for their menu and upcoming events calendar today.
Hey guys, dealing with ED or low T? Don't just accept it. Act like a man and fix it. Your old lady will thank you. Guaranteed. At Low Country Male, testosterone and ED plans start at just $5 a day. You'll get labs, unlimited doctor visits, and real results. Right now, get 2 months of free ED meds with any new plan, plus 30% off NAD Plus and peptides. With 8 South Carolina locations, it's time to make men men again. Visit lowcountrymail.com.
Do you love Takis Fuego chips? Well, you've never had them like this. If you never tried them, now's your chance. Wendy's new Takis Fuego meal is here with crushed Takis Fuego chips on a spicy chicken sandwich with chili lime sauce and a creamy corn spread, plus a small Fuego fries inspired by Takis Fuego chips and a bag of Takis Fuego chips while supplies last and a small drink available till midnight or later. Visit your local Upstate Wendy's to give it a try today.
Sweet summertime is coming to an end, and all parents know what that means. Back to school preparations. You have the school supplies, new backpack and clothes, but what's the one thing your son needs? A fresh new haircut that will start off his school year right. No matter what age, feeling good about yourself is always in style. Let him be his best self this school year and call Roosters for your appointment today at 884-8920.
All over Greenville, people are asking, what's a Vermeer? Well, Vermeer is one of Greenville's newest corporate citizens. The company builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing underground utility construction. Vermeer machines are leading the way in soft dig trenchless innovation, enabling the exposure of underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods. Get the scoop at Vermeer.com/dig.
Looking for a big new game to play? Well, there's no game bigger than the new dino-sized Jurassic Park scratch-off game from the South Carolina Education Lottery, which gives you a chance to win up to $200,000 instantly. And if that weren't enough, you can enter for a chance to win an exciting trip to beautiful Hawaii, where you could win up to $1 million. So get down to your local lottery retailer today, and welcome to Jurassic Park. For game odds and details, visit sceducationlottery.com or the Players Club app.
Evan Cohen here. Whether you're locking in your home run picks or riding with your favorite golfers this summer, ESPN Bet is your sportsbook for all the action. Go from checking stats on your favorite teams and players to placing bets in just a few taps. Plus, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet app and sign up with promo code USL to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood. Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Upstate's home for Atlanta Braves baseball. We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Walt Dip to the Road Rage. We are back. Tester said, I missed the top five. Who's the top five? Top five is Brady, one, Autogram, two, three is Unitas, four is Montana. Three and four are basically the same guy in different periods of history. And five would be John Elway. And then that next group after that would include Steve Young and Staubach and who else did I say before? Well, Steve Young, Staubach. I don't have to think about it. But so I had multiple people ask me about Troy Aikman and where does Aikman fit. Aikman was an incredibly accurate quarterback. Aikman was, you know, light years better passer than a guy like Terry Bradshaw was. Again, different time periods, which I take into account when I make these kind of lists and compilations. But yeah, Aikman's the second best Dallas quarterback in history, and second only to Roger Staubach, who was, you know, Staubach was sort of otherworldly. So yeah, let me get to June, and I got a bunch of people with other questions. Oh, what is this? Sellers is a glorified running back that'll be shut down this year. Now that's actually sort of laughable, to be honest. I mean, it's just not true. There's no part of that that's true. You actually could not be more wrong. He has a chance to wind up being the number one pick in the draft. No one's shutting him down. That's just delusional. It's like he didn't watch anything that happened last year. I mean, the man completed over 63% of his throws in his first year as a starter in the SEC and played well in most of those games. He threw the ball vertically and completed over 63% of his throws. And he demonstrated that he can layer the ball. In other words, not everything's a fastball, and yet he could throw a football 80 yards. No, it's just, I'm sorry, that's just plain wrong. It's so ridiculously wrong that it really doesn't even dignify an answer. June in Seneca. June, how are you, June? Good to have you.
Hey, I'm good. How you doing?
Good. Appreciate you getting in, June.
I just want to know what was I caught the tail end of it about the quarterbacks, like in NFL and college. What was the subject?
There really wasn't a subject other than it was a conversation that started with Terry Bradshaw and Bradshaw's alleged greatness and his place in history and all that stuff. And my point about Pittsburgh was Bradshaw is probably the 12th best player on those teams. I mean, those teams had nothing but Hall of Fame players. And Bradshaw, you know, got benched multiple times. He got benched for Jefferson Street Joe Gilligilliam, who died of a drug addiction. You know, I mean, I don't hate Terry Bradshaw. It makes it sound like I do. I don't. You know, he's probably like 20 all time or somewhere in that range for me. But I don't think he's even the greatest Pittsburgh quarterback of all time. I think that was Roethlisberger.
Hey, I get it. And that's why I wanted to piggyback on. I wanted to piggyback on quarterbacks, period.
Yeah.
NFL and college.
Yeah.
When it comes to black quarterbacks,
yep,
in NFL and college, it was different. It was way different. I mean, you had Charlie Ward. They couldn't even get drafted because
they didn't let Warren Moon play in the NFL for 6 years. He had to go play for the Edmonton Eskimos.
Exactly. Warren Moon could have went straight to the NFL, couldn't nobody break his passing record.
100%. Yep. No, that's right. That's just a fact. It was
yes,
different.
Yes. This is stuff that perturbs me. Clemson, I'm a Clemson fan.
Yeah.
Man, you remember, Homer Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
They paid Homer Jordan not to come back to win another national championship with a quarterback that had two bad knees.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, look, yeah. There were lots of guys who were shut out by race historically. There's no question about it. The good news is it's all changed now. It's same. It took so long. And, yeah, I mean, a guy, Warren Moon in his career threw for over 50,000 yards. And not only did he lose out on playing in the NFL those 6 years, but he lost prime years. I mean, he lost prime years. Yep.
Yep.
No question.
Yep.
Yep.
That's all I wanted to get in,
yep,
man.
I agree, too.
Hey, and another thing, y'all brought up Peyton Manning. Hey, Tennessee didn't win a Peyton Manning didn't win a championship. Steve Martin won a championship.
That's true. And Steve Spurrier reminded him of that constantly. You're 100% right, June. Yep, that's right. It wasn't Peyton Manning that won a title at Tennessee. Peyton had to make way for T. Martin to win a championship, and Spurrier always rubbed all that stuff in. You know, you can't spell citrus without a unity. Spurrier, you know, it's funny because the only reason that Spurrier would say that stuff is he just didn't respect Peyton Manning. He just didn't. I mean, he may say otherwise now. I'm sure he does. But the reality is he just didn't. He did not think Peyton Manning could beat him. He just didn't. That's why you say those kind of things. And I think he felt that he could get under his skin, too. He might have. Texas said, same stupid comments people made about Lamar Jackson. He has all the attributes, just needs fine-tuning. Right. I mean, again, Lenore Sellers had an insanely good first year as a starting quarterback in the SEC with a difficult schedule. He just did. I mean, so because you watch him make a couple plays with his legs against Clemson in the fourth quarter, that doesn't mean he's just a runner. I mean, look, let's be honest. Take the orange-colored glasses off for a second. You go to Cade Klubnik's first year as a starter 2 years ago, it wasn't anywhere near Lenore Sellers' first year as a starter. It wasn't even remotely close to what Lenore Sellers did last year. And look what the jump that Cade made in year two as a starter. So Lenore is going to make a jump too. And the NFL is watching his jump because the dude has insane physical attributes. And he's made of all the right stuff. And he works at it. He works at it. So if you think like Lenore Sellers is going to be stopped this year or none of those things are happening.
Yeah. He's not getting benched.
No.
Not a chance.
No, he has insanely special traits. And he is way more than just a runner. He has a chance to be an elite thrower of the football. I don't think people watched. I think people who say that clearly didn't watch all his games, didn't see the things he did as a thrower, but I did because that's what I do, and I'm telling you, this is a guy who can throw missile strikes 70 yards downfield on the move, but can also layer the ball with touch, and not everything comes out as a fastball. So I would blatantly disagree with that. I think I think Lenore Sellers is truly special, and I would expect him to have a really big year. Nothing that he does would shock me. I think he's that gifted. Listen, it's good that things have changed in that regard because, again, history blocked a lot of these guys out from having opportunities, and a lot of guys that we'll never know because they just, we believed a lot of stupid things back in time. You can get in six. Texas said, Walt, where do you rank Marino and Dan Fouts? I got a lot of Dan Fouts comments. Dan Fouts is top 20, a guy who people don't think about, but Len Dawson is top 20, offense of the 70s, won the Super Bowl, one of the great upsets of all time. Marino is tough for me because he is one of the most elite arms that ever played. He and Namath probably had the quickest releases in the history of the game. The part that's tough is he did not win any Super Bowls. I think at times he was his own worst enemy. He was a bit of a selfish player. He did not want to run the ball. Shula wanted to run the ball. He did not want to run the ball. And I think there was a constant debate between those two guys about how things are done. And I'll never forget, after a particularly bad loss, Marino said, at least I broke this record, whatever the record was at the time, was some touchdown record. And that's something that I never really forgot about. It was a little Aaron Rodgers-ish, if you know what I'm talking about. So I think Marino, as I said, I think he's in that group that includes Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger. You know, the sort of, it's probably the 9 to 12 or 13 group. He's in that group right there. That's pretty strong company. And he's the one who didn't win a title in that group. So, you know, but that's where I would put him. You know, again, some of his attributes, some of his traits were as good as we've ever seen, but there were other holes. There were other elements, as there frequently are. Dre in Greenville. Dre, how are you, Dre? Good to have you.
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, I got a question. Where would you rate Randall Cunningham? Now, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Yeah.
But I definitely admired him when he was with the Eagles. And some of his things, some of his moves, his running was some of the first time we've seen a true quarterback with those skills.
Yeah, he had, you're 100% right, Dre. He had sensational traits. He had a live arm, sort of a looping throwing motion, but a live arm. He was an insane athlete. You know, it's funny, Dre, because in a way he was probably almost ahead of his time. You know, he probably would have been better off had he played in the game the last 5 or 6 years. You know, and we probably would have seen what he was really capable of. He was certainly spectacular. He's hard to rate historically, though. He's none of these guys sort of hard to rate historically. I don't know where I would put him. I would have to think about him. But he definitely changed the way the game was played. And there's no doubt about that.
And then my last question is for you. As a GM in the NFL, what would keep you away from getting Wilkins, since nobody wants him? What would keep you from getting him outside of him being hurt? What other flaw do you see in his game as a defensive tackle?
Yeah, I don't think he has flaws as a defensive tackle. The concerns are his conduct off the field, I think, are the concerns, combined with the injury. You know, the Raiders felt that he didn't work as hard in sort of rehabbing that injury as they wanted him to. I don't know where that injury stands right now. And obviously there was another incident, and I don't know the full details of that, but it seemed like, we're basically being told that he seemed to sort of force that situation. And and obviously NFL teams are not going to have that, and so I don't know where he stands right now. It's a shame, because you know, just a few years ago he was one of the dominant young defensive tackles in the game.
And I was just thinking, if some team wants him, didn't they get him cheap?
I would think so. I would think so right now. Yeah, he'd probably get him at a good rate. And you know, meanwhile his playing partner Dexter Lawrence is arguably the most dominant interior force in the entire National Football League.
And that's where the NFL is different than the NBA. The NFL will ban guys, and the NBA don't care how bad you are if you can make them win a championship.
That might be right. You might be right. Again, part of this is still the injury, and we don't know the exact nature of that. We know what we've been told, but, you know, who really knows?
All right, well, it's always a pleasure talking to you.
Good talking to you too, Dre. I appreciate that very much. Yeah, Cunningham was certainly sensational and was ahead of his time. Really live arm. Again, sort of a looping throwing motion. Really good deep ball thrower. An insane athlete. One of the best athletes we've ever seen at the position. Truly historically special in that regard. Kevin in Greenville. We're still on this. I mean, people don't want to leave it. Kevin in Greenville, I'll get to you first as soon as we get back. We'll take a quick break here.
Welcome back to this year's football season. Continue your tailgate traditions Clemson style with Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca. Order your tailgating trays such as nuggets, strips, mac and cheese, or delicious cookies. Herb and Carol Tyler want to make sure we're a part of your Clemson tradition. Call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Seneca at 864-886-9080 to prepare for game day. You can also order online at ilovechickfil-a.com or through the Chick-fil-A app.
Looking for the ultimate ride? At Boneyard Cycles, they've got everything you need to hit the road in style. Whether you're after a new bike, pre-owned, parts, or top-tier service and repairs, Boneyard Cycles has you covered. From Harleys to cruisers to sport bikes and everything in between, Paul and his crew are here to get you on the road in style with no dealer or dock fees ever. So what are you waiting for? Visit Boneyard Cycles at 507 Pyramidary Road in Anderson or at BoneyardCyclesOnline.net today.
Discover exceptional value and reliability at Toyota of Easley, where your satisfaction is our top priority. Whether you're in the market for a sleek sedan, a rugged SUV, or a fuel-efficient hybrid, we've got the perfect vehicle for you. Our friendly team is ready to assist with personalized service and unbeatable offers. Don't miss out on the chance to drive home your dream Toyota. Visit us today at Toyota of Easley and experience the difference.
Nobody does dual enrollment like Tri-County Technical College. It's never too early for you and your child to think about college. The dual enrollment program at TCTC offers the opportunity to take two or more dual enrollment classes, and it's a cost-effective way to earn college credit. Your student can get a jump start on college, saving time and money. You and your child have options, so why not discover what dual enrollment at Tri-County can do for you? Find out more at tctc.edu/DE.
If your loved one is no longer comfortable living in their own home due to memory loss or aging, Dominion Senior Living is here to help. At Dominion, outstanding physical, emotional, and spiritual care is the standard. The community offers a modern, comfortable place to call home while providing personalized care to meet specific needs. Honoring God through service to seniors, Dominion Senior Living promotes vitality with support when needed. Visit DominionSeniorLiving.com for more information.
I got my orange tiger gear. I got my parking pass. Wait, the mattress from home? No go. I need real sleep before game day.
At Engineered Sleep, they have you covered. Whether you're headed to the dorms, your first apartment, or that off-campus house with five roommates, we've got the perfect mattress to crush 8 a.m. classes and recover from late nights in Death Valley. Parents, don't send them back with that lumpy old mattress. Stop by Engineered Sleep in Greenville or shop online at engineeredsleep.com. Back-to-school savings are going on now. Go Tigers!
Looking for a scent that transforms your space? Light up your day with Buff City Soap's hand-poured candles and seasonal scents that you know and love. Made with plant-based soy wax and phthalate-free fragrances, Buff City Soap candles fill your home with long-lasting, clean-burning scent, never overwhelming, always unforgettable. From cozy and calm to bold and fresh, there's a Buff scent for every mood, and they make great gifts. Shop Buff City Soap today in Seneca at Hartwell Village or the shops at Green Ridge in Greenville.
What's going on, everybody? Faxon Childress here from Faxon Sports. I'll be live alongside John Haidt from 9 a.m. to noon, as always, for this Friday's edition of the program. Excited to preview the weekend in the sports world. We'll be talking more NFL preseason and offseason. We'll be talking more college football, getting you primed and ready for the upcoming college football season with just 23 days until kickoff in Death Valley between the Tigers and the Tigers. You won't want to miss any of the content we have for you on the Friday edition of the program. And as always, phone lines and Adam's Go Roofing text line open at 654-ROAR. See you soon, everybody.
The Upstate's home for sports talk.
It entertains me. I enjoy listening on the way home.
105.5 and 97.5 FM. We are the Roar.
Welcome to the Red Rage. We are back. Basketball David writes, while any NFL rookies you think are going to surprise, went through your top 100 and prepped for my Dynasty Fantasy Draft. We only draft rookies. Colston Loveland, question. Mason Taylor, Ibuka. I have the seventh pick, so I probably won't sniff Hunter, Genty, Hampton, etc. And then I have the second pick in the third round. I have to think about that, David. Let me think about that. Yeah, let me think about that for a little bit. We'll try and answer that question for you. You can get in if you want, 654-7627. Kevin in Greenville, I'm coming right to you. Let me get to Kevin first because I messed up my other thing. Kevin, how are you, Kevin? Good to have you.
Hey, well, good. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, Kevin. Appreciate you getting in.
First, being a diehard Gamecock fan, I appreciate the kind words about Lenore Sellers. Everything you said is true. A remarkable rookie campaign. The sky's the limit for this guy. Hopefully he stays injury-free. They coach him well. Losing Dow Loggins to become the head coach at App State. And
that's a question. Because, again, you know, one of the things I talk about all the time is quarterback's world remaining the same or improving. So that's a bit of a legitimate question.
And, you know, Walt, you were talking about these great quarterbacks of the NFL.
Yeah.
And I got three names that stand out to me whenever it crosses my mind. The first is the immortal Otto Graham. You and I both have a fascination with this guy. Amazing that he won 12 straight division titles before there was an NFL. And just an incredible athlete, played pro football and pro baseball. The second that comes to my mind,
basketball. He won a basketball championship, too.
You know, basketball championship as well. You're right.
He is one of the more unique players in the history of sport. And again, he is quite arguably the greatest winner in football history. And yet, some of people don't know. But what's really amazing, maybe the most amazing thing of all, is what I quoted earlier, is that he's the all-time leader in yards per attempt, which is insane given when he played.
And you know, Walt, he was Bo Jackson before there was such a thing as Bo Jackson.
Yeah, he was
a little bit different. Yeah.
He was a great runner. People don't know that either. Yes.
All you got to do is Google some videos on him, and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, you're blown away at the time.
Right, and then extrapolate all that out. Right, and then imagine if he had come along today with everything he could do, and then, you know, make him bigger, stronger, faster, you know, because he would be today.
And while I was also a big fan of Johnny Unitas and Bart Starr.
Yeah.
You talk about incredible leadership, will your team to victory, overcome odds. Just these two guys exemplify what you look for in a leader at that position. You know, you always have a top person in the organization. And, man, wouldn't it be great to have guys like that running your ball club today?
Well, you know, again, the thing with Unitas was a lot like Montana, physically, leadership, seeing the field, all those things. But, again, I give Unitas an edge for two reasons over Montana. One is that he came first. But two is, and this is really astonishing, he threw touchdown passes in 47 consecutive games at a time that just didn't happen. It was impossible. And what's really so amazing about that is that that record stood until Breeze and Brady broke it, which is incredible. That's like Bob Beamon in Mexico City kind of stuff. You know, a record that just stands forever. Even in the changing ways of the game, you would have thought that somebody would have broken that. No, that record stood until two of the greatest who ever lived in a modern era where they're throwing way more, and Breeze and Brady broke it.
Yeah, you could only imagine the success these guys would have had in 16 and 17 game seasons.
Yeah.
Right? And the size of the league. It's like when Otto Graham played, I think there might have been, you know, 10 or 12 teams.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was a lot of seeing the same team over and over. But, man, every time I think I can stump you, you come up with some great statistics that you know. I would have never guessed that Drew Brees and Tom Brady threw more consecutive touchdown game passes than Johnny Unitas.
Yep.
So kudos to you
thank
all.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're a brain on steroids.
It's the illness, Kevin, but thank you. Appreciate that, Kevin. Yeah, I mean, you know, think about how long that record stood. You know, and these are the things, you know, with both Graham, who still holds a record today, you know, for yards per attempt, which is just impossible, and factually the greatest winner of all time by percentage. And then Unitas, who held that record forever of 47 straight games, again, until two of the greatest in the modern era, Brees and Brady, broke it. And that's what it took to get there. I mean, you know, even today, it's, you know, trying to get to 47 straight games with a touchdown pass is monumental. Now think about when Unitas did it. You know, when guys were not throwing 40, 50 times a game. You know, it makes it that much more incredible. Let me tell you about Iron Drive Floor Coatings. You want to talk about incredible. You're working with a locally family-owned company in business 15 years. Jake Wilson's dad started the company. Jake runs it today. They have the most five-star Google reviews in their industry. Why? Well, the people and the quality of the equipment. See, they invest heavily in the equipment. And it turns out, not so surprisingly so, that the quality of a floor coating job is directly dependent on the quality of the equipment that lays it down. You don't get the dust, it's much longer lived. They also have 12 in-stock color options, but limitless custom colors. So in other words, if you can dream up a color, they can create it. Go to irondrivegaragefloors.com for a free estimate and to schedule their services. Decorative epoxy coating installation. Why epoxy? It's the only thing that lasts the humidity of South Carolina, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. That would be false. Easy to clean, extremely durable, transform your space. They've installed over 1 million square feet in the 15 years they've been in business. Go to their website to see their insane gallery of finished jobs. Treat your garage floor, your mechanical room, your patio, the same way you would cover your bedroom, kitchen, or den floors. They've done jobs all over the upstate, including most likely the neighborhood you live in. They do commercial installation as well. Go to irondrivegaragefloors.com for a free estimate and to schedule their services. They're the best. Lifetime adhesion warranty, guaranteed as long as you own your home. Just more amazing stuff. Trust me, you'll thank me later. Do it. It's Iron Drive. They are 100% the best. All right. Before we get to a couple of these other college football topics, which we're going to get to, I want to get and answer the people on the on Twitter today who wanted my win total play. So let's take a look at this, Will. Again, I did this a long time ago. I added a couple over time. The last update to this was 6/24/25. All right. So let's start at the top and take a run through this. I think I have 18 or 19 plays. And I'll tell you what I like best too. So if I were you, I don't think I'd play all 18 plays. All right. I'll tell you which ones I really like a lot, but you know, you want to diversify and go the mutual fund approach, then play all 18. They're gonna win. I mean, so you may as well play them. Michigan State over higher than 5.5. That was -125. Why, Walt? Two reasons. Aiden Childs, another year of Aiden Childs, who I think has star potential, and Jonathan Smith, who I think is one of the best coaches in college football. And another year at Michigan State. Now, look, I don't love their schedule, and I don't know that the margin for error is going to be great here. But I think they win at least 6 and maybe 7. So I'm sticking with that. I still like Michigan State. That's a play on Aiden Childs, and it's a play on Jonathan Smith, that combination. Will, you can offer thoughts on any of these if you want. Any thoughts on that?
Michigan State does have a very, very, I don't want to say easy, but beneficial schedule towards getting that sixth win. They're playing Boston College at a conference. We'll say that they're taking the Cignetti approach or the SEC approach to scheduling at a conference because Western Michigan, Boston College, and Youngstown State.
Okay. Those are the first three games?
First three games.
Okay. And the Boston College game is at home, isn't it?
Correct.
At Michigan State. Look, they should be 3-0 after those three games. All right, so what do we have beyond that?
Behind that, you do have a couple difficult games. Week 4, you're going to Southern Cal.
Okay, I think they're going to win that. I'm just not high on Southern Cal. I mean, I, I think Southern Cal is going to be somewhat better defensively, but I don't buy anything that's going on there right now. I actually think Lincoln Riley's in trouble. If he goes 7-5 this year, he's fired. I really believe that. I mean, I think the patience has run out on Lincoln Riley in Southern California. It's been the same theme from Oklahoma through Southern California. You can't stop anybody. You're like the head coach of the offense, and when you're supposed to be the head coach of the football team. And I think that's got to change, and we'll see if it does. You know what? I'll say a half. So I was at three. Was I at three?
I believe so.
Okay, we have the first three wins. The game four is game four, Southern Cal?
Correct.
Okay. I'll say 3.5.
Okay, you got a bye week, and then you go to Nebraska.
Let's say they lose. 3.5.
Okay. Hosting UCLA.
4.5.
Yep. At Indiana.
We'll see if they lose.
Hosting Michigan.
See, I think they could win this game. I really do. I'll say 5.
At Minnesota.
5.5. That's right on the number now.
A bye week hosting Penn State.
5.5.
At Iowa.
5.5.
Hosting Maryland.
6.5.
Okay.
So that's how we get there. Again, I don't think your margin's going to be great on this, but I think they are 6.5. And honestly, given that I think Childs takes a big step forward and Jonathan Smith's program takes a step forward, I think they probably win one more game, one more than I just listed. I don't know who it's against, but I think they're going to win 7 games. I think they go 7-5. That's what I think. So we're sticking with that. That's a higher. I give you that way back, 527-25. All right, the next one up is Alabama under 9.5. And that was plus 115. All right, Will. Look, I know they're the greatest offensive line now of all time, even though they only averaged 2 yards rushing against Oklahoma and couldn't run against Michigan at the end of the year either. Yeah, the Michigan team where all of their starters opted out of the game. I know they're the greatest O-line of all time now because, you know, my man Feldman tells me that on this freak list. They're all freaks. They're all freaks. What was really freaky is their inability to run against Oklahoma. That was very freaky. Considering that they're all freaks, it was extremely freaky that they couldn't run with all those freaks against Oklahoma. I think they have players in particular spots. I don't think they have enough of them, and nothing has changed for me. I didn't like this team last year, and I still don't like them. I love their receivers. God forbid any of those dudes get hurt. All right, Will. Hit me with their schedule.
Opening at Florida State.
Okay, I'm going to give them a win. 1-0.
Okay. Hosting Louisiana Monroe.
2-0.
Hosting Wisconsin.
3-0.
A bye week before going to Georgia.
3-1.
Hosting Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt.
3.5.
At Missouri.
I mean, all Diego did is put up 40-something on him last year, and he doesn't care where he plays. At Missouri, I'll say 3.5.
Diego Pavia might be able to play offensive line for Alabama.
Yeah, that's right.
Then you are hosting Tennessee. We're at 3.5.
4.5.
Okay. At South Carolina.
4.5. Alabama, 7-point favorite, loses in Columbia.
Ooh. A bye week before hosting LSU.
4.5.
Hosting Oklahoma.
4.5.
Hosting perennial powerhouse Eastern Illinois.
5.5.
There you go. At Auburn.
I mean, they don't even get to 6 because they're not winning on the plains. I mean, Nick Saban couldn't win on the plains. You know, I don't like this team, and I don't like that schedule, and I love minus under 9.5, all right? So, yeah, nothing has changed for me. I had Alabama 22 or 23 in my rankings, and it may be too high.
22.
Yeah, it's not too low, okay? It's not too low. The question is it too high?
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
I'm Eddie Bennett. For 25 years, Bennett.